Such mental bewilderment as represented here by the door, it takes place for some living entities, but not for everyone. For if everyone were bewildered, there would be no possibility of a solution by higher personalities. And in text 8, Shukadeva Goswami says, O King, Maitreya, being thus agitated by the inquisitive Vidura, at first seemed astonished. But then he replied to him without hesitation, since he was fully unconscious. And the purport showed before. Since the great sage Maitreya was filled with God consciousness, he had no reason to be astonished by such contradictory questions by Vidura. Therefore, although as a devotee he externally expressed surprise, as if he did not know how to reply to those questions, he immediately became perfectly settled and properly replied to Vidura. Yasmin vijyate sarvam evam vijyatam bhavati. Anyone who is a devotee of the Lord knows about the Lord to some extent, and devotional service to the Lord makes him eligible to know everything by the grace of the Lord. Although a devotee may apparently express himself to be ignorant, he is full of knowledge in every intricate matter. So this is a series of the final portion of a series of questions, and to appreciate the context, we'll go back to Maitreya first meets. Vidura first meets Maitreya. Vidura was sent to Maitreya by Uddhava because, compared to Uddhava, Maitreya is by years elder, although Uddhava by realization is superior. Uddhava was taking the position, Vaishnava position of humility, and referring to the elder personality very nearby is Maitreya. He is perfectly qualified. You have a desire to hear Krishna Katha, topics that you have some questions about. Maitreya is qualified. He's perfectly qualified. He's my elder. Best you go to him. And besides, Krishna said that you should hear from him. Maitreya was told by Krishna, Vidura is soon going to come. I want you to instruct him in these messages that you've heard from me. So the Lord wants him. So go find Maitreya. And he gave a third reason, which is, the Lord also gave me some service, and I have to go now. On my way to Badri, and in Badri I'll be meeting the devotees of Narayana Ji and giving the Lord's association on his behalf, being his message carrier. So I have to go now. So Vidura found Maitreya, as was the indication of Uddhava, and when he found Maitreya, Maitreya was basically expecting him, because the Lord said, Vidura will come soon. And after their preliminary respectful exchanges, very similar to what happens in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, the inquirer in this case is Vidura. In the other case it was Narada speaking to Brahma. But he wanted to hear about the Lord, but specifically he wanted to hear about the features of the Lord's creation. And so there's several chapters describing the process of creation, how the Supreme Personality of Godhead brings that which is material into being from a dormant state. So it's a relationship between the cause of all causes and the creation that he causes. And describes, not only that, describes further just, not just the process of creation, but then the relationship between the Lord and that which he creates, which is elaborate and deep and profound. Hearing this by Vidura, being the qualified personality that he has further questions, and his further questions have to do with more about the relationship of the Lord with the creation, but specifically the distinction between the living entity and the Lord. I'd like to read, going back a few verses.
Probing into
it's Leela, what prompts Leela? Somebody that has a desire, like boys playing, they play because they have a desire to play. Why does the Lord perform Leela? He doesn't need anything. He's self-satisfied. He's Atmaram. So why does he, for what reason is the creation brought into being? Next. By his self-sheltered potency of the three modes of material nature, the Lord has caused the creation of the universe. By her, by the modes of nature, or by material nature, he maintains the creation and conversely dissolves it again and again. The pure soul is pure consciousness and is never out of consciousness, either due to circumstances, time, situations, dreams, or other causes. How then does he become engaged in essence? This is what this is getting at, is the living entity is also unchangeable or is qualitatively like the Supreme Lord. So how does, if the Lord remains unchanged, unaffected by the process of creation, how is it that the living entity, being qualitatively one, becomes covered by nations? Lord is not covered by nations, the living entity is covered by nations. What's going on? They're qualitatively one. Then that's the verse just preceding this one. The Lord is there in the heart, along side by side with the living entity. The Lord is the protector. He's Buddha Prit, he's the maintainer and protector of the living entity. And it's understandable if a living entity in everyday life, if he has trouble and he has no protector, he's on his own, he could undergo some difficulty. But the living entity he's right side by side with the Supreme Lord and he's having difficulty. He becomes covered by nations and ignorance. How is it possible? And a major part of what this is getting at is there's a difference between the living entity and the Supreme Lord, although they're qualitatively one. And that's going to be unfolded by Maitreya's reply. Although Vidura is a very learned person, he's presenting these questions as if the statement that he's making is specifically, he's feeling illusioned. My mind is greatly illusioned by the distress of this nescience. Just to think about the living entity suffering in a way that they really shouldn't be suffering. It's his mind is bewildered, he's feeling distressed. Similarly, Maitreya, when he's speaking about the same subject matter, although he's perfectly learned, he's a pure, fully Krishna conscious person, contemplating the suffering of living entities, he also becomes, apparently, at least externally, astonished, and then somehow composes himself and proceeds to give a description. Full explanation. So the Prabhupada is clarifying here that the pure devotee of the Lord prior, Maitreya was a greatly learned person only, and not a great devotee. But having heard from Krishna directly, as Krishna was speaking with the Gita, he then became most qualified devotee, just by hearing. And that means he knows how to fix his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's only by fixing one's mind in that way, completely fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the mind does not become agitated by the illusory energy and bewildered and unclear and lamenting and disturbed. He's taking the position, explicitly Prabhupada is expressing this, in a humble manner. He's taking the position of one who is bewildered, although he's not. He's concealing, you can say, his real qualification, because he's not interested in a flashy way exhibiting his real qualification. He's a Vaishnava. He's keeping his decorum. He's keeping his mood of humility, both internal and external. He's checking his whatever possibility there might be towards and direction towards pride by his humility. Although he's vastly qualified, he's presenting himself and regarding himself in that way, in a very humble way. Very important for those who advance in spiritual understanding to guard against pride by this protector of humility. A great friend of a devotee is the quality of humility and pridelessness. In fact, Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita in the 13th chapter that these two, Aman and Mama Dhammitva, they're items of knowledge. A person who has true knowledge has these first two qualities. One who has knowledge exhibits it by their humility and pridelessness. And in contrast, Vidura is portraying himself similarly as bewildered, but at least the way that Prabhupada is addressing this is, in fact, he is. And if there were not the case of those who were unbewildered, like Maitreya, then there would be a chance for those who are bewildered to get out of their bewildered condition. That's the statement that's made. Such mental bewilderment, as represented here by Vidura, takes place for some of the entities, but not for everyone. For if everyone were bewildered, there would be no possibility of a solution by higher personality. So we say it in reverse. Elevated souls are essential for lifting the bewildered souls out of their bewilderment. If there weren't elevated souls free from bewilderment, there weren't these distinctions, there's no way out of the problem. The way out of the problem is there are such qualified persons, and those qualified persons similarly have become relieved of their bewilderment by the same process. That is, association with those who are not bewildered. And through this exchange of hearing, inquiry, hearing, serving, by that process one becomes freed from bewilderment. And otherwise, it's like the blind leading the blind. Or We're all in a sinking boat in the middle of the ocean, and somebody can say, I'm in charge. And they're all going down pools without any recourse. So that the nescience of a living entity, it's a big problem. It brings so much suffering. Prabhupada has said this thousands, at least, you know, many times, that ignorance is the root cause of all suffering. So the living entity in a suffering condition, how does he get free from that root cause? In many cases, they don't even know what the root cause is. In many cases, they don't even know that they're suffering. Prabhupada can go on and on and on about how people are in such a terrible condition, and yet they think that they're not suffering. He would commonly give the example of a hog. And for us, the foodstuff of the hog is awful. But ask the hog. By the modes of nature, he's searching out stool. It's like, you know, he doesn't have to go to hog school to learn to go after stool. He just, it's built in. And we look at that and go, awful, awful. But he's thinking, very nice, very nice. And in a similar way, all the other varieties of so-called enjoyment that people are eagerly pursuing, it's an allurement only. There's no substance of happiness. It's a trick of the material energy, and it brings about so much suffering. Minimally, birth, death, disease, and old age, just by, and who wants those miseries? Someone can say, I'm independent. But if you're independent, then do you want to die? Do you want to get old? Do you want to get disease? Do you want to have to be born again? You can say, well, you know, it's just life, I'm independent. It's the suffering, the root cause of the suffering is, in fact, that ignorance. And to wake somebody out of that darkness of ignorance, the slumber of being in ignorance, it's very difficult. Even you bring some bright light into that place of darkness, they keep their eyes closed. Don't see. It's very difficult. Very difficult. And so what Vidura is asking is, here's this bright light, here's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only like a neutral light, but by nature, he's the protector, the maintainer. Not just of his devotees, he's the protector, maintainer of all living entities. And he's side by side with this other living entity, the conditioned soul. And the conditioned soul is covered by nescience. So where it's pointing to is the fact that there's the living entity that has this desire. Specifically with the metaphor that's being used, the two birds in the tree, his desire is fruitive enjoyment. As long as one has the spirit of fruitive enjoyment, he won't recognize the Supreme Personality of God even if he's right next to him or right in front of him. He's blinded by this passionate ignorance. Even he can be told, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, when he's in the house of Sarvabhaumavacharya, and Gopinathacharya after he's taken to the temple to see Jagannath and taken to where he can take prasadam, Gopinath Acharya is asked by Sarvabhumavat Acharya, who is this sannyasi? What family is he from? What order of sannyas has he taken? So Gopinath Acharya explains to Sarvabhumavat Acharya, his grandfather is Lilambar Chakravarti, and very greatly learned person in Navadvipa, because Sarvabhumavat Acharya previously was a resident of Navadvipa. He said, oh, Nilambar Chakravarti was a very close friend of my father. And I feel some natural, because he's thinking in terms of the body, I feel some affinity for this young sannyasi. And what's the line of sannyas that he's taken? Bharati was the Keshava Bharati was his sannyas guru, so he's in the Bharati line of sannyas. And Sarvabhumavat Acharya, being so qualified, said, oh, that's nice, but it's not the highest of sannyas orders. If he likes, I know the mantras that I can officiate and give him a higher order of sannyas. Gopinath Acharya and the other associates that were with him, Mukunda, they were very displeased to hear him speak this way. And Gopinath Acharya said, he's not just a sannyasi, he's the personality of Godhead. He doesn't need a higher order of sannyas. And Sarvabhumavat Acharya replied, be careful. You're saying he's the personality of Godhead? I want authority to say that he's the personality of Godhead. One must understand these things properly according to scripture. Be very careful. And the associates, the students of Sarvabhumavat Acharya, supporting their teacher, said, we understand things through reason and logic, and what is the reason and logic behind this assertion that he's the personality of Godhead? We won't accept unless you have very strong reason and logic. And Gopinath Acharya was very angry and said, you can't understand the personality of Godhead by reason and logic. Your foolish logicians will never reach the conclusive truth that way. Even in my dear brother-in-law, Sarvabhumavat Acharya, here are the verses that say that he's the personality of Godhead, but even I give you all these verses, what are you going to understand? Without Lord Chaitanya's mercy, you'll never understand. Even the personality of Godhead is in your own home. And you've seen, you've witnessed, you've examined to see what is his quality. You saw that he's in the state of Mahabhava that only the personality of God can attain. And even the logic and evidence is there, and you don't accept. How unfortunate. Only if you receive the mercy of the Supreme Lord will you be able to understand him. And Pindura is likewise taking the position of someone who's bewildered, and because he's received the mercy of Krishna as well. But he's taking the position of one of us, conditioned, bewildered souls, and wanting to hear properly from Maitreya this puzzle. Living entities, qualitatively one with the Supreme, side by side with the Supreme, becoming bewildered by nations. The answer is the Lord's external potency. One of his unlimited potencies, and here is this marginal potency. And if the marginal potency person has turned his attention away from the Supreme Lord because of this enjoying the fruits of his activities mood, that immediately means turning one's attention away from the Supreme, then he's not going to understand. Even the Lord is right next to him, he'll be bewildered by the deluding potency. Which means, in effect, that the living entity and the Lord are not in all ways equal. There's a quantitative difference. There's this marginal position of the living entity, that the living entity can become bewildered. Although the living entity, like the Lord, is unchanging, that's from the previous verse, as the pure soul is pure consciousness and is never out of consciousness, either due to circumstances, which includes being bewildered. That is to say, there's covering or contaminated consciousness, but beneath the soul is there in an unchanged state. Consciousness may become contaminated, but the soul remains pure in all circumstances. So restoring the pure state of consciousness is a matter of removing the covering, or purifying consciousness, directing consciousness again to the Supreme and withdrawing consciousness from illusion, from the false conception that the living entity is separate from God, or the living entity is equality, is in all circumstances one with God. Either way is illusion. It's not factual. And when Vidura begins his responses, the very first thing, he's got a big hammer. He hammers strongly on the Mayavad conception that the living entity is quantitatively equal with the Supreme, is not in all respects not different than the Supreme. So we're going to be hearing this distinction. The living entity is tiny, the Supreme is unlimited, unlimitable. There has to be that differentiation. To properly explain these circumstances that the Lord has asked. I mean, because they're different, although qualitatively one, the living entity can become bewildered. Otherwise you have God becoming bewildered. That means, Maya is stronger than God. Brahman becomes covered. This is even before Shankaracharya started doing this thing. It's right in the Bhagavatam. Of course, it's also right in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says the same thing. Those who think that I've assumed his form and personality, they're fools. Abhajananti mahabhuta manushyam tharamashutam mudha. Strong. And still people say it. And get angry if somebody says you're a fool.
Receiving mercy in different ways, and how does it all work together, receiving mercy and all the instructions of the image, and how is it
How does it work?
Well, one thing that's very important in understanding how it works is there are instruments or representatives of the Supreme, nimitta matram bhavasavya sachin, as Krishna speaking to Arjuna. Krishna showed Arjuna, I've already destroyed all these people on the battlefield. It's decided already. Whether you say, you know, I don't want to do it, or I do it, it's already decided. So you can become my instrument. Through you, I will do it. Because Krishna likes to honor his devotee, so his devotee can do it. Exactly, Krishna is doing, and the devotee is the instrument. So mercy is like that. Likewise, the deliverer is Krishna. But Krishna is neutral. So he can't, it would look like he's partial to this one and, you know, against that one. So he doesn't. He remains neutral. But he enjoins and entrusts the responsibility of distributing his mercy to his devotee. Not only distributing his mercy, distributing himself to his devotee. And that way it's descending mercy. It's Krishna's mercy. I remember having this, when I first heard Prabhupada being called in our books, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, I thought His Divine Grace meant Krishna's Divine Grace, because He is. And someone was like, no, that's not the right way to understand it. It's a way of respecting Prabhupada, saying His Divine Grace is referring to Him. His Divine Grace. But His Divine, the grace that He has that is divine is Krishna's grace. So both are right. It's a way of addressing, but it's also indicating Krishna's grace. His, meaning Krishna's, divine grace in the form of a person carrying His grace. So you're question repeated a few different ways was, how does it work? It's Krishna sees the living entity in his suffering condition, and that he's not happy, although he's complete. By his loving nature, he's not content. Wants to see the living entity, but doesn't interfere. Wants to see the living entity again with him. So through his representatives, the representatives make those arrangements. And that's just how, using the language that's here, how a solution by higher personalities is arranged. Higher personalities means, in one sense, those who themselves have been receivers or recipients of some mercy. And now they're the instrument for distributing that mercy. And the mercy is in the form of, for starters, just like in this connection, you're not that nescience. Although you can identify, you know, the bewildering circumstance, the pain and suffering that comes as a result of that bewildering circumstance, it's not, that's not you. And you don't have to act simply in relation to the circumstance or the pain and suffering connected to the circumstance. You don't have to. you can choose not to. And if you choose not to, here's the path of not to. Bring your consciousness to the Supreme. So, those that are instruments in that message from Krishna, that's mercy. Hare Krishna. 9 o'clock, we'll end there. Thank you very much. Shiva Prabhupada. Thank you.